You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the state's largest business group wants Governor Evers to come up with a plan to begin reopening Wisconsin's economy. We'll talk with the head of that group about how businesses have been affected by the COVID-19 outbreak and Evers' safer at home order, and how he says the governor can help get them running again. First, when was the last time you had a good laugh? I mean, a really good, long lasting, deep down there kind of laugh. How'd you feel afterwards? Good? Better? Happier? Healthier? Our next guest says it can be all of the above if we're laughing the right way and often enough. Dr. Madan Kataria is the founder of the Laughter Club movement that he started in 1995 in Mumbai, India. His new book is called Laughter Yoga, Daily Practices for Health and Happiness. Dr. Kataria, welcome to Central Time.
It's my pleasure.
Now, before we talk about what laughter yoga is, can you talk about the moment in your life when you realized you'd kind of lost your laughter? What did that mean?
I was practicing as a family physician in Mumbai with 20 million people staying in this city. And also, I was editor of a health magazine in two languages and bringing out a publication every month and doing a family practice built a lot of stress in my life. And I was looking for something to de-stress myself. So I started writing a series of articles on stress management. So I tried several things. Then in March 1995, I thought, let me write about laughter is the best medicine, because one of the best stress buster is laughter. So after researching the benefits of laughter, I thought it's a huge, nobody's laughing in Mumbai. And idea occurred to me, why not start a laughter club? So I went to a public park and spoke to people around. We started first laughter club by telling jokes in the beginning. But after about 10 days, we ran out of good jokes. And most of the jokes were negative jokes, hurting jokes. Then came vulgar and sexy jokes. And people asked me to stop. I said, no. We won't stop this laughter club. I say, give me one day, I will find some breakthrough technology, how to laugh without jokes. So I didn't have even faintest idea about this breakthrough technology, but I believed in it. So I was flipping through the books and I read one article which said that even if you act like a happy person, your body doesn't know whether you're acting or whether you're really happy. So that gave me an idea that why can't we make laughter as an exercise? If acting out laughing and acting out happy means the same thing for the body, your mind knows you are pretending, but your body cannot. So based on this idea, I created the first laughter club where we do laughter as an exercise. And first we fake it, pretending laugh. But when you're doing it in a group, it gets into genuine laughter very soon. And then I found that laughter has a very good similarity with breathing exercises in yoga. In yoga breathing, you tell people to exhale longer than you inhale. So I say, what do we do when we laugh? We are exhaling. So why can't we laugh a bit longer? So for me, laughter is like a breathing exercise. When you laugh, you exhale a lot of carbon dioxide out of your lungs. And that inhale a lot of oxygen. And this is the basis I named it as laughter yoga. And it became very popular. As far as quality of laughter is concerned, we do fake in the beginning. But when you're doing as a group activity, it gets into genuine laughter very quickly. Now, I'm giving you a quick demonstration.
Sure.
What is a laughter yoga is breathing and laughing. So please do it with me. Take a long, okay, deep breath, inhale. Hold your breath, hold it, and laugh it out.
All right, now I got to say, I can feel it there. It started as a fake laugh, but I don't know, pretty soon you're laughing, I don't know, at the fact that you're laughing, the fake laugh turns into a real laugh pretty easily.
Yeah. So second is, then I told guys, okay, you can't laugh, just let's fake laughter. So second exercise I want to do with you is fake it until you make it. Okay?
Okay.
Let's fake laughter for a few seconds. Okay, ready, go.
All right. I feel a little silly, but it's I'm getting it, I think.
Yeah, this is the case. When you're doing this, imagine you're doing it with a big group of people, and then you can't laugh. You can't fake a laugh. So it gets into general laughter very quickly.
That's great. Now, can you talk about some of the health benefits? You mentioned stress management, and that I could totally see that. What are some of the other benefits we get out of laughter, whether we're faking it at first or it's just real laughter?
See, scientific studies show that if you laugh regularly, it regulates your mood by releasing all the happy chemicals, endorphins, serotonins, dopamine. So your mood changes. When your mood is good, you do everything well. So you stay in a very joyful state of mind. Second, a regular practice of laughing, we found that it strengthens your immune system, because stress and immune system is inverse relationship. When stress levels are up, your immune system goes down. So when you laugh, you de-stress yourself, your immune system perks up. So this is where your health is, because if I talk in modern context today, with the coronavirus going around the world, it's so important to keep your lungs healthy, to keep a deep breathing and keep all your lungs aerated with oxygen. Second, if you laugh for 4 to 6 weeks continuously, every day, definitely your immune system will go up. Now, I'm telling you my own story. I didn't catch a cold for the last 25 years. So this is not my case. There are more than 16,000 laughter clubs in 110 countries. Most members say that they are not catching cold as often they used to do. So this is the big thing, immunity. Your immune system is one of the big plus. Third healing factor is oxygenation. So you Google search, what is the food for the brain? What is the importance of oxygen in the body, cells, metabolism, everything? They say lack of oxygen is the single most factor for the disease to happen in our body. If your body cells has enough oxygen, you cannot fall sick. Even disease like cancer cannot happen if your body has enough oxygen. So oxygenation cannot be better than the laughing. Laughter is a great exercise to increase the net supply of oxygen to the body and brain. And that is the big healing factor. Depression is number one. 300 million people are depressed all over the world. And we found that laughter yogis who come and join laughter clubs, they quit antidepressant medication after a few months. So this is not a small, big mental health benefit. And people suffering from chronic ongoing diseases like heart disease, hypertension, arthritis, diabetes, insomnia, all. So I won't say that completely cured with laughter, but at least 50% relief, reduction in medication can happen with regular practice of laughter yoga. And this is no laughing matter.
We're talking to Dr. Madan Kataria, author of Laughter Yoga, Daily Practices for Health and Happiness. Well, what I really like about this, Dr. Kataria, is I imagine there are no side effects, no bad side effects we have to worry about by practicing laughter yoga. Is that right?
Yeah, only one side effect, that is peace of mind.
All right. Now, a lot of people are at home alone, or maybe with a small group. They can't get together with people to laugh. Can you share an exercise for an individual, maybe alone in a room? What can they do to start their own laughter?
For the families who are locked up at home, I've got some dinner table exercises.
Oh.
So when you lay down the dinner table and ask everyone not to eat, we will laugh for 1 minute challenge, 1 minute laughter challenge. Like, we will not stop laughing before 1 minute. And let's see whether we can do that or not. So can I do it with you, Rob, now? 1 minute challenge. Are you ready?
I don't know if that's good radio, both of us laughing for a minute. We could try it for a little bit, though, okay? You laugh. Hey, everybody listening, laugh along at home with us so I don't feel silly, okay?
Okay, let's go.
Ha 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 ha
So like that, you can complete 1 minute.
Okay, we got about 20 seconds in there. That's not too bad.
No, you can go on for. Second is breathing and laughing. So ask to take a long, deep breath. Inhale. Hold it for 3 seconds. Hold it, and laugh it out. So when you're doing it in a family, looking at each other, I bet you won't stop.
Probably not. I'm having trouble now, actually. Okay. Well, Dr. Kataria, thank you so much. This sounds really useful, and it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us today.
So I feel so bad. The situation in America is not so good. It's not a laughing matter, but by laughing, I think it makes you feel good. So don't think that we are laughing at something. We are doing laughter as an exercise to make us feel good. So I wish all the American, my brothers, my sisters, to be all right very quickly. We'll get over it. And I want to come to America and see and laugh with you all in person.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Madan Kataria, founder of the Laughter Club Movement. We talked to him today about his new book, Laughter Yoga, Daily Practices for Health and Happiness. WPR is a big part of your day, your go-to for essential news, in-depth analysis of important issues, and yes, sometimes some laughter. And listeners like you are the biggest source of funding for WPR. A listener from Wanakee made a gift and said, I couldn't get through this time without you folks. Thank you for being here. Well, we can't get through it without you either. Join in by making your gift at 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552. You could also give online at WPR.org. Coming up, when you can't visit your usual places in person, a virtual visit will have to do. We'll talk to the Wisconsin nonprofit that created a Minecraft version of itself, open for visitors. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Wisconsin after-school program can't meet in person right now, but they used Minecraft to create a virtual experience. We'll get a tour. Right now, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about parenting.
It's been just over a month since most of Wisconsin was told to stay home. For kids in school, that's meant a transition to online lessons and home worksheets. And families have had to reshape their habits and routines. WPR's Rob Menser has been working at home with his son. He brings us this look at life in their home.
Here's something nice from these weird, hard days. Every day after lunch, my son and I go for a walk. He didn't mind when I brought a microphone.
Grab my shoes.
Wait, you bring that thing with you?
Yeah, I thought I'd just bring it on our walk.
Okay.
Forrest is almost 9. We talk a lot about Fortnite. Occasionally, we discuss other topics, like how he has regrets about the balloon he chose at an event a year ago.
And it was about my birthday, and they were giving out balloons, and for some reason, I didn't take the blue balloon. I remember there was a balloon that was blue.
Red balloon's a good balloon.
Yeah, but I like blue.
The walks are nice. The days can be hard. Like so many other people, I'm working from home full-time during the pandemic. My wife, Laura, works at the health department in Wausau. She goes into the office every day, so it's up to me to keep Forrest on track with online school lessons and to come up with enough activities for him so that he only spends a few hours watching video gamers on YouTube. I make a list for him of things to do during the day, and we check in on it.
So you're through your school work day.
Like
so
my
now,
main school.
Yeah, so now there are other things, you know, other activities.
Yeah. Like play outside.
I really am grateful to have a comfortable house and an adaptable kid. I have friends who have toddlers or new babies in this time. My sister has 3 kids. 3! So I know I have it easier than lots of people. But there are times when it's a strain. I'm like everyone else, I think, who's working with kids at home. I have days where I feel like I've done a pretty good job at my job. I have days where I feel like I've done at least an okay job of parenting. But I never, ever have both of those on the same day, and a lot of the time I have neither. I try to help Forrest with his assignments, but I am really not great at it.
Wait, is that right?
Nope.
At her job as a health educator, Laura sometimes calls people who've been tested. Some tell her it's the sickest they've ever felt. Even some of the mild cases are terrible. And of course, not all the cases are mild. In the evening, we break the news to Forrest that it's probably unlikely that he'll be returning to third grade this year. I talk about it with him later.
You were upset
when we were thinking that school might not start back up again. What about that made you sad or upset?
I could barely get to talk with my friends. I don't get to see my teacher. And, well, that's the first couple reasons that come into mind.
Do you feel like you have a feel for why we're doing this right now?
The government's trying to keep kids safe from COVID-19, from them getting COVID-19.
And not just kids, right?
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody. To me, I feel like one of the worst things is not knowing how long this is going to be.
It is. That is one of the worst things. I agree.
In the afternoon, Forrest is outside in the backyard at the same time as his friend Henry is outside a couple houses down. They call across to each other awkwardly. It kind of breaks my heart. On Saturday, we go for a bike ride. We stop down at the river, and Forrest sees a place where we can climb out on some rocks.
That. It's going to be hard. It's going to be treacherous. Probably going to fall in. Just that.
These are not normal times, but we had a very normal Saturday. I don't know if we're doing everything right, but we are figuring out a way to do this. We're like everyone else. All of us together are trying to do the right thing.
That story about parenting in the pandemic came from WPR reporter and dad, Rob Mentzer. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Now, one Wisconsin youth organization decided to make visiting their facility possible even in a pandemic. They created a virtual version of the center in the game Minecraft for their kids to visit. Megan Keyes is the support and wellness coordinator and an early intervention mentor at Youth Go, a nonprofit youth drop-in center on the border of Neenah and Menasha. Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into Minecraft, in normal times, what do you do at Youth Go?
Yes, Youth Go is a drop-in center for 5th through 12th grade youth. They don't have to be in Neenah or Menasha, but that's where we see most of our kids coming from. We have what we call our middle school time and high school time. We offer homework help, snacks, dinner at night, organized activities, and then kind of free time activities for the kids to enjoy time with each other and with the staff, one of which is playing Minecraft, usually in our center.
Now, here it is. You can't do this in person. How did this replicating the center in Minecraft idea take off?
I don't know if it was originally that they wanted to build the center right away. It was more that we wanted to figure out a way to engage the kids virtually. So we had come up with a variety of different things, and one of which was Minecraft, because the current version of Minecraft has the ability for you to play on multiple platforms. So some of our kids are using their phones or computers or a Nintendo Switch or an Xbox, and they could all be playing together in this one server. So once they got this server up and running and started getting kids to join, they were like, you know what, why don't we make it just like Youth Go? And so they've been working on making a replica of our center, as well as kind of creating their own town and things around it as well.
That sounds like a huge job.
Yeah, it's definitely taking them a while. We have 3 days a week where we have it set up to have them playing with us for a few hours each day.
Do you feel like that and the other online services are helping at least a little bit to help bring the kids together and connect with each other and you at the center, even though they can't be there in person?
I definitely think so. The kids are always super excited for either the Minecraft server to open or our different trivia and the online live things to take place. We have a schedule for each of those, so they're always looking forward to that and hop on as soon as those come up each day.
And Megan, have you gone on Minecraft and visited the work in progress of the Youth Go Center in Minecraft form?
I haven't yet, but I do have a copy of Minecraft at home, so I think I'll have to join them pretty soon. I've gotten to see a few pictures that they've all been making of it, but I think I'll have to join in on the fun sometime soon.
And I understand, in addition to the virtual presence, Youth Go has been part of the effort to provide meals to some kids in the community. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So like I had mentioned a little bit ago, with our normal time, we usually serve dinner 5 nights a week. So we knew that that would be a big change for a lot of our families to be supporting their own selves on meals each night of the week. So we have come up with Thursdays as our opportunity to either deliver or have families pick up a basket full of different meal items and snack items that they can use for either their kids to make for themselves if they are still needing to be out of the home working, or for them to make as a family to help supplement what they've got going on already.
Now, with all of your efforts there during the Safer at Home time, how important is it to help give at least some sense of normalcy to the kids you work with?
I think it's extremely important. A lot of them aren't used to having their days be different than what they normally do, you know, getting up, going to school, coming to USCO, going home, and repeat. So having a schedule of everything we have going on, especially keeping each of our activity offerings the same time every day, I think gives them at least something to plan around and look forward to each day.
That said, I bet you're looking forward to welcoming them back in person at some point in the future.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's not the same. It's good, but it's not the same.
Megan, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Megan Keyes is the Support and Wellness Coordinator and an Early Intervention Mentor at Youth Go. That's a nonprofit youth drop-in center located between Nina and Menasha. She joined us to talk about how Youth Go is connecting with its kids through the game Minecraft and other ways as well. Coming up, we'll talk to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce about their call for Governor Evers to roll out a plan to reopen the state's economy. And remember, you can support conversations like these with your gift at 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552. Or support Wisconsin Public Radio with a gift at WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 6 on the morning show, a lot of workers and employers are in uncharted territory right now. An expert on employment and labor law joins the show with some information and answers to your questions. That's tomorrow morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network. First, it was just a few weeks ago that Governor Evers' Safe at Home order took effect. The restrictions are designed to limit the spread of COVID-19 in Wisconsin. They appear to have helped. The president of the Medical College of Wisconsin told the Milwaukee Business Journal that the daily growth rate is down to 9.7% compared to 35% when the order began. Many businesses have had to close their physical spaces and or furlough employees. More than 300,000 unemployment claims were filed in March alone. And according to the state's largest business group, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the unemployment rate is believed to be more than 13%. That's why WMC and other business organizations are calling on the Evers administration to get the ball rolling on reopening the state's economy. Kurt Bauer is the president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Kurt, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Good to see you.
Well, you and this coalition of groups really sent a letter to the governor. What exactly are you looking for from him?
Well, we're trying to get as much certainty as we possibly can in very uncertain times. The governor originally instituted the Safer at Home order on the 25th of March, and it was to go through the 24th of April. So we're asking him not to extend the order beyond that date, and we're asking him to work with us, the business community, on a plan to restart the economy, because you can't just power this up by pressing a button. This is, and the governor acknowledged that. He said that in his interview that was mentioned at the bottom of the hour news on WPR. The governor understands that. I mean, this is complicated. We've never done this before, and there are many moving parts, and each sector of the economy has its complexities. So we need to put together a plan to get Wisconsin back to work.
And you're not, it sounds like, saying on April 25th, everything should go back to what it was before the order, if I'm hearing you right.
No, you're absolutely right, Rob. We actually said that in the letter. We recognize 100% that this has to be slow and methodical. It has to be responsible. We understand that we are in the middle of an unprecedented health emergency. It, of course, has caused an economic crisis as well. You mentioned 13% unemployment in Wisconsin. It's actually now 16%, which is by far the highest in recorded history. The highest prior to that was in 1982. We just had an economist talk to our membership earlier today who said that probably by the end of April, we're looking at 20% unemployment, which is basically Great Depression levels. So we understand the health emergency. We understand that we have to be responsible and careful, but we also need to put a plan together to get us back to work. And what we have to do is ask questions such as, what will it take for workers to feel comfortable in the workplace? And of course, each workplace is a little bit different. Manufacturing, construction, a warehouse, office environment, each one is a little bit different. And then of course, more broadly and the longer term is, what do we have to do from a societal standpoint to get people, the general public, comfortable to go out and go back to restaurants and bars and social settings and, you know, the farmer's market in Madison or Summerfest in Milwaukee.
We're talking to Kurt Bauer, president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, talking about a letter that they and other business groups wrote to Governor Evers asking for a plan to get into place when it comes to starting to reopen businesses currently closed. I want to give a listen to Governor Evers earlier this week, asked by KSTP-TV in the Twin Cities how much longer this could go on. We've been hearing similar quotes in the news. Here's a listen.
I would fully expect that another couple of weeks, maybe a month, before we are in a position to actually say we're ahead of the curve here, and after that we can start thinking about how we can relax things.
So that sounds like later than April 24th, April 25th. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he has the power to extend the order, but now's the time to plan one way or the other. And I think what we would want is that if the governor wants to extend the order, we would prefer the certainty of knowing that ahead of time. Because, again, just think of, say, a restaurant. They have to order supplies. They have to call back workers. They have to tell their customers. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in each business out there in order to plan to reopen. And it's not just going to happen overnight. Businesses need time to plan. And, of course, they also need to figure out how they're going to survive the downturn, the shutdown. They've got to talk to their bank and make sure that they've got the liquidity to survive this. And of course, every day that we delay, that means more people who are going to lose their job and more businesses that are probably not going to reopen. And, of course, every day we delay, that means that we're further away from getting to that that recovery that, of course, we're hoping will be a U-shape as opposed to, you know, a long plodding recession or worse.
We asked our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page what they think. Paula wrote, I know this is hard on a lot of businesses, especially local businesses. Government needs to step up and help those businesses weather this. Paula goes on, well, I know people are tired of the month of extreme social distancing. It's saving lives. What do you think about Paula had to say about government support? What are you seeing coming from the state and the federal government in their efforts to help businesses get through this time?
I think the business community is very appreciative of what we've done at the federal level with the three legislative packages, now the conversation about a phase four legislative package to help businesses survive this. And, of course, the legislature or the Senate today passed, and the governor turned around and signed immediately the relief package at the state level. Both are important. We very much appreciate it. But I think the business community is now saying, all right, enough with the relief packages. Now let's talk about planning for getting back to work and hiring people back. That ultimately is what we have to do. We certainly understand that we have to protect people's lives, but we also have to protect people's livelihoods. And you mentioned the Medical College of Wisconsin. You know, the data was at least encouraging this week. It looks like the numbers are stabilizing. We're flattening the curve. I think the safer at home has worked. And I think that we can safely, responsibly, and gradually get people back to work by sector, by region, as long as, of course, we're making sure that we continue social distancing, we use disinfectants. I mean, there are a variety of different steps that we can take as the business community to make sure our workers are safe on the job.
Have you heard from member businesses about how they are trying to prepare for those safer measures? I mean, businesses that are open, you know, you go to the grocery store, sometimes there's the plexiglass shield and the masks and the X's on the floor. Some people have been pretty innovative with this. Are you seeing a lot of other examples of that for businesses trying to get ready to reopen?
Yes, we are. So generous use of disinfectants, although there's a shortage of that right now, which is a challenge for us to restart. The use of personal protective equipment, PPEs, again, a shortage there, you know, masks, gloves, whatever is appropriate for that particular industry. And then, of course, test kits. And then that's going to be a key here. And that's really been something that has slowed this process down. But we do have great companies in Wisconsin. We have Exact Sciences. We've got Promega that are working on test kits. We need them to be widely available as much as we possibly can. And that would be another step that we need in order to safely get back to work.
We're talking about the hit that businesses are taking from COVID-19 and Governor Evers' Safer at Home order with Kurt Bauer, head of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. They and other groups wrote a letter to Governor Evers asking him to come up with a plan to try to begin reopening the economy when the Safer at Home order expires next week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see when it comes to businesses opening up more and more in Wisconsin over time? What do you want to see in place before that happens? If you are a business owner, maybe a small business owner yourself, let us know how you have been affected by COVID-19 and our stay-at-home era. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with Kurt Bauer, President and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. WMC is urging Governor Evers to come up with a plan to start reopening the economy when the current Safer at Home order expires next week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you think it's time to start focusing more on the economic health of the state? Do you want to see businesses reopen? How has Safer at Home affected you, your business, if you own a business, or a sole proprietorship, or if you've been furloughed or laid off at work, let us know how that has affected you. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard on Facebook from Julie, who says, I'd like us to get past the next 2 weeks and then reevaluate the situation. The in-person election might impact numbers between now and the end of the month. Kurt, that's something people are going to be watching for over the next 5 days or so. Julie saying, hey, we need a little bit more time before we start to try to plan, at least with any certainty.
Well, again, that doesn't preclude us from putting a plan together. And I think, well, we're in the process of doing that right now. We have a task force of our board of directors. We're working with the sector-specific business trade associations and the local chambers of commerce on putting a plan together to give government an idea of what we think is a safe way to restart the economy. But, you know, look, this has to be based on risk assessment. And different parts of the state are affected differently by this. Milwaukee County obviously has the vast majority of the cases and the infections. Dane County, Waukesha, and Ozaukee in that particular order. You can perhaps begin the process of getting back to work by region and by sector of the economy, and you can do that safely as long as you take a look at the risk assessments for each one of those regions and each one of those economic sectors, because each one of them has a different characteristics to them that affect their workers and, of course, their customers and society as a whole. So I don't think that would preclude us from putting that plan together right now. And, in fact, we're well on our way on trying to put something together based on risk assessment, regions, and individual sectors of the economy.
Looks like our listeners are more active on Facebook than on the phones right now. Diane writes, am I the only person who needs a haircut? Let beauty salons open in May with a small number of social distancing clients. We can easily get a cut with a face mask on. Well, I'll say, Diane, I'm a little overdue for a haircut, too. But, Kurt, that's one sector where there's a lot of close contact between people. Can you talk about that as an example of, you know, what are the tricky things we got to think through here?
Yeah, well, it's a little hard to do the social distancing with a haircut. I'm with your listener. I could use a haircut as well, and I'm trying to sport a quarantine beard, which isn't working out all that well, and my wife doesn't like it too much. But, yeah, I think that we want to feel like we're getting our lives back to order the way they were. That's probably going to take longer. I think that we have to recognize that some of those sectors of the economy, it's just going to take a little bit longer for us to open up. But I do think that there are, you know, manufacturing, much of which is still operating because it's labeled essential, construction, warehouse work, some office environments, for example, our office off the Capitol Square. I can alternate who's in the office, have somebody in one day and have them work from home the next day. There's a variety of different strategies that we can undertake to make sure that we're doing appropriate safe social distancing so we don't have a spread. And then, of course, a second wave of COVID-19. Nobody wants that.
Let's bring on a caller now. Doug is with us in Richland Center. Doug, hi.
Hey there.
What'd you want to bring up, Doug?
I was just wondering how they can go back so fast with so many cases being out right now, and there's so many places that aren't testing. If you're sick, they won't test you. And people are talking about going back to work. Well, this started with one case. Now there's hundreds of thousands of cases. So how can they even consider going back to work and opening up the economy until this is under control?
Doug, thanks for the call. And I've heard from public health experts here in Wisconsin that, you know, we're not where we need to be with testing. We're getting there. We're making big strides. How do we know, Kurt, how do we evaluate when we have enough testing in place that we can have more finely tuned public health measures and not this, you know, broad brush approach that we have now?
Well, testing's important, to be sure. And again, I mentioned the two fine Wisconsin companies who are working on it. There are others, of course, around the country. I think testing's very important, but I don't think that we're going to be able to wait till everything is perfect before we get back to work. I think the economic damage will be just too profound. I mean, we're already looking at 16% unemployment rate going to 20. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development estimated last week that we could go as high as 27% unemployment. Now, just think about that. The Great Depression, I think we never got above 20%. I mean, these are significant economic challenges, to be sure. And keep in mind, too, there are health, mental, and physical consequences to unemployment. I mean, we know that when there are depressions, there are more suicides, there's more substance abuse. There are physical challenges to that as well. So I think that we have to try and balance this out. And frankly, I don't envy the governor on this. This is a tough call. I think he's done the appropriate things to try and keep Wisconsinites safe. But now I think we need to piece things together as safely and responsibly that we can in order to get Wisconsin back to work and try and make sure that we don't fall into an economic chasm.
It's a good place to leave it. Kurt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thanks for having me.
That's Kurt Bauer, president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. We talked to him about his call for Governor Evers to roll out a plan to start reopening the state's economy when the current Safer at Home order expires on April 24th. After 10% of the state's dairy farms went out of business in 2019, Wisconsin lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have been working to help farmers cope with financial stress. And while milk prices were rising earlier this year, the coronavirus pandemic has sent them tumbling once again. But as Hope Kerwin reports, some in the agriculture community wonder if the state's response is enough to help producers struggling with their mental health.
Darren Von Ruden is president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He says the last 5 years of low commodity prices has taken a toll on the state's farmers, both financially and mentally. But he says it's not easy for producers to seek counseling help.
when you're going bankrupt, it's hard to go to the psychologist and say, you know, I need help and I don't have any money to pay you.
As more farms go out of business, Von Ruden and others in the ag community have called on state leaders to help make mental health services more available to farmers. And Von Ruden says these resources are even more important given the new coronavirus pandemic.
You know, it certainly is affecting more than just farmers at this point in time. And so how do we address the total mental health of the state?
Von Ruden says one state resource that's helped farm families are vouchers for free counseling sessions given out by the Farm Center. The program is run by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. It offers a crisis hotline where producers can get financial advice in addition to the counseling vouchers. The Farm Center was created during the 1980s farm crisis. Senior ag specialist Kevin Plant says today more people see the need for counseling.
We have more producers that are reaching out and that seem to be asking for help and recognizing, you know, less of that stereotype of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
He says the Farm Center has also been working to create new workshops, including one for farm couples to cope with stress. Overall, Plant feels DATCAP has been responsive to the current needs of farmers.
You're not always able to do everything that you'd like to do, I think, sometimes, but you can definitely know that there is somebody available that they can work with.
But this work has also been impacted by the pandemic. DATCAP canceled the workshops planned for this spring. A spokesperson says the agency is waiting to see what happens with the virus in coming weeks before deciding to reschedule. Funding for the Farm Center's programs has also been caught up in recent political fights. Last summer, former DATCAP Secretary Brad Paff accused Republican legislative leaders of delaying funding for the counseling vouchers. Republicans argued they were waiting for recommendations from an assembly task force on suicide prevention, though they eventually approved the funding. The Suicide Prevention Task Force did propose one bill specifically for farmers. The legislation would provide tuition assistance for producers to take college courses on farm management. Republican Representative Joan Ballweg was chair of that committee.
How do we prevent people from getting in over their heads? For farmers, that means taking a comprehensive look at the finances and options that they're looking at.
But rural communities aren't waiting for lawmakers to take action. Several counties have held their own suicide prevention training specifically for ag lenders, seed companies, and others who work with farmers. One workshop in Pepin County last November taught participants how to identify the warning signs of suicide and helped them practice asking someone if they're having suicidal thoughts.
Are you thinking about killing yourself?
Tony Mays, one of the participants, is in his second year of farming in nearby Pierce County.
So we're finally kind of getting to know our neighbors and stuff and, you know, starting to hear about their struggles.
Mays says he wanted to learn how to best support his neighbors, and he doesn't think more government assistance can replace that.
It's a community thing where I think people need to be more involved in each other's lives.
He says farmers need a culture shift in rural communities, where more people are willing to ask their neighbors about their mental health and be there when things aren't going well. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's the spring member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We're not making a ton of noise about it, but it is still going on. We're inviting you to support Wisconsin Public Radio with a financial gift now, if you're able to, at 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552 or online at WPR.org. You count on Wisconsin Public Radio to keep you informed and engaged and entertained and inspired in normal times and in abnormal times. Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for over 100 years. We've been with you through a lot in that time. We're with you right now. We hope that is valuable to you. We're going to keep doing it for you, and we're inviting you to show your support with a gift. You can do it online right now at WPR.org or with a quick phone call, 888-202-2552. Thank you for your gift if you're able to make it now. Thanks for supporting us through the decades. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a New York Times investigative piece tracks the White House response to the novel coronavirus as the crisis developed. One of the reporters joins the show to tell us what we learned from the Red Dawn emails. We'll meet Wisconsin undergraduate students who are giving some online tutoring to school kids in Wisconsin while schools and colleges have closed their doors. And sometimes standing out in a crowd may not feel so great, but people who are unique and different can have a big impact on the world. Author Olga Kazan is back with us to talk about her new book. It's called Weird. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent. Tomorrow at 7, spring is often a big season for buying and selling houses. An expert joins the show to look at this year's season in the midst of a pandemic. Show. Coming up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we'll learn how the models projecting the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths actually work, what goes into them, and how we can interpret their results. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.